health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and it's time for the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you today. It's glaucoma. I'm going to ask the doctor if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Awareness Week. And we have the wonderful Dr. Philip Fatudi in with us, ophthalmologist, glaucoma specialist, member of the South African Glaucoma Society and World Glaucoma Association Associate Advisory Board. I'm glad I'm sitting down for that, Doc, when I read that. So let us have your questions on 061-895-1019, and we will do our best to get the doctor to answer them for you.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us here on 101.9 Chai FM. It's Monday and it's time for the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. Our fantastic producer, Sina Pabetsi, always finds amazing guests for us, and I'm really happy to be chatting with Doc. I do apologize if I'm butchering your name. I seem to make a living from this. Dr. Philip, is it Fatudi or Patudi?
It's Patudi.
Patudi. Okay, got it. Thank you, Doc, for joining us. Patudi. And how did I do with pronouncing glaucoma?
You did exceptionally well. It is glaucoma. It's not dragged out. I think you did well. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. My apologies for mispronunciating your surname.
No worries.
So it's wonderful when you grow up dyslexic in school and struggling to read, and then you get to do this for a living. It's a lot of fun. So, Doc, it's World Glaucoma Awareness Week. Can you tell us a little bit about what is glaucoma and what causes it?
Fantastic. So just to start off with Glaucoma Awareness Week, it is a global initiative that was started by the World Glaucoma Association. And the whole aim is to, it is the second week of March every year. So it is just basically us as healthcare or eye healthcare practitioners, especially those who deal with the condition of glaucoma, to sort of have a louder mouthpiece to say, you know what, there is this very dreaded disease that can cause permanent blindness. And please be aware that there is such a condition. And there are various sort of risk factors that we can maybe delve into in the next few minutes. But in a nutshell, glaucoma is a group of diseases that are related that eventually lose or they cause this progressive deterioration and decline in your optic nerve functionality. And there are various types of glaucomas, which, there's the most common one that we encounter is what we call open-angle glaucoma or primary open-angle glaucoma. It can affect both adults as well as children. If it does occur in children, then we refer to it as congenital. There are some juvenile type glaucomas, but the one that we typically see on a regular basis is the open angle glaucoma that we unfortunately tend to pick up too late, hence my real great appreciation for hosting me to talk about that.
We're very grateful for you coming on air and giving of your time. I think, Doc, if you add a few more things to your title, that's going to be the whole intro of the show. So there's a lot that you're keeping busy with. So glaucoma is often referred to the silent thief of sight. And for me, my own personal experience, I have a very severe stigmatism. It's been corrected a little bit. But many years ago, at probably standard 9, so I was nearly 16 or 17, came up to Johannesburg because my family had read about colored lenses helping with dyslexics read. And I went to go see the fantastic Professor Selwyn Siegel, Selwyn Super, excuse me, at RAU or UJ, I think in those days, or UJ now. And he basically did an eye test on me and found that I had astigmatism. How many people are walking around without the awareness of the fact that they have glaucoma or may have glaucoma?
Very, very important question. Well, first of all, roughly about 50% of people globally who have glaucoma do not know they have glaucoma. And this is in the developed countries. Now, if we look at ourselves here in South Africa or any other developing country, it can go up to 90%, if not more. So in other words, most of the people who have glaucoma do not know they have the disease glaucoma. And the reason for that is there's seldom it's asymptomatic. There are no symptoms that often can lead you to think that you have glaucoma, especially the primary open angle glaucoma type. There are various other glaucoma types, such as the acute angle glaucoma. There is patients with what we call neovascular glaucoma, which forms part of the secondary type of glaucomas. Those can present with pain because the pressure inside the eye goes high in a relatively short space of time. Now, the open angle glaucoma, one often finds that the pressure actually goes up gradually, and therefore you don't feel that pressure effect on the eye, and that's why it's often referred to as the silent thief of sight.
Right. So what are the effects on the eye and on the sight system of the different glaucomas? So we mentioned a few sort of with pressure in the eye, the affecting the optic nerve. What are the effects?
So to try not to get too technical.
Come on, get technical though, it's fine.
Let's go for it. So what the main issue or the only modifiable risk factor is that of the intraocular pressure. Now, the normal pressure inside the eye physiologically is between 11 millimeters of mercury and 21 millimeters of mercury. Now, typically in primary open-angle glaucoma, you tend to find that individuals walking around with pressures more than 21 millimeters of mercury, sometimes 25, 30, 35, 40s, over a long time, that becomes too much for the optic nerve to actually handle.
Right.
And there are various sort of, hypotheses as to what could possibly lead to the damage of the optic nerve. And one of them is the inability for the optic nerve to revive themselves because of the continued pressure in the eye. They obviously are not getting enough oxygenation, and they lead to death of these what we call ganglion cells. And that then we can pick up by examining a patient on a regular basis on the slit lamp, where you can see that the optic nerve is starting to change color or looks a little bit more pale looking, and also a very specific sort of sign known as cupping of the optic nerve. Now, cupping is an indication that there could very well be a decline in your ganglion cells or some of these very minute, very fragile nerves that help us to see.
Right. So if we can go back a little bit just to touch on the origins of World Glaucoma Awareness Week, and then we'll go after the ads into talking about the causes. I've just actually got a sign from Craig. We're going to ads now, and then if we can chat about the origins as soon as we're done. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care, find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
We're chatting with Dr. Philip Patuti, ophthalmologist, glaucoma specialist, and member of the South African Glaucoma Society. I'll get it right, guys, I promise. And World Glaucoma Association and Associate Advisory Board. And we're chatting all things glaucoma. It is Glaucoma Awareness Week. Let us have your questions for the doctor on our WhatsApp line 061-895-1019. Doc, just before we went to ad breaks, we were going to touch on sort of how did the Glaucoma Awareness Week come about and what do you hope to achieve? What are the intentions behind it?
Sure. So the brief history is that the World Glaucoma Association is made up of various glaucoma societies around the world. And in fact, every second year, there is a massive, massive glaucoma congress that is held around the world, various locations. The last one was in Rome, Italy. And the one that we're going to have in literally 3 months' time will be held in Honolulu in Hawaii. So the aim is really to bring about awareness of the disease of glaucoma. As I've mentioned to you, some of the statistics that we know that patients who have glaucoma, most of them are yet to be found and diagnosed. And so the only way really to get the message across is to bring about awareness, to have these kind of campaigns, to have these weeks where we try to bring about that awareness and the existence of the disease of glaucoma. And if I may maybe delve a little bit into the risk factors or some of the risk factors that patients who have these risk factors should be on the lookout for. If you know that there is a family member with glaucoma, that's the obvious one to really go and see an ophthalmologist. And as I mentioned to you before, that there's hardly ever any symptoms related to the disease of glaucoma. By the time you realize that you are losing sight, it's often too late, because then it means that in those areas that you can't really see clear vision, those nerve cells have died out already. And the sad reality is, sure, with all the technology and the treatment modalities we have at our disposal now, it's really not necessary for any individual who's diagnosed with glaucoma to go blind from it. And other risk factors, patients who wear spectacles, I see you wearing spectacles as well. Whether you're myopic, I know you told me you've got astigmatism. So myopia, so in other words, very nearsighted individuals, you tend to find that you're -2, -5, -10. You are very spectacle dependent, and as well as hypermetropic patients. Patients with slightly smaller eyes tend to have a different type of glaucoma known as chronic angle closure glaucoma. And so those patients that have glasses, which is quite a large number, if you have not had a thorough ophthalmology or an ophthalmologist looking at your eyes thoroughly in the last year, I'd recommend, especially if you're over the age of 40, I'd recommend that you have your eyes checked and especially look at excluding diseases such as glaucoma. We obviously look at all the other aspects of the anatomy of the eye. We don't just zoom into the pressure and the glaucoma aspect. We check for all the other things that could possibly go wrong in glaucoma. Patients with other medical-related diseases such as diabetes, I mentioned earlier about a different type of glaucoma known as neovascular glaucoma, which we tend to find in patients with diabetes. Diabetes can make you blind if uncontrolled for a very long time. It results in poor perfusion or poor blood supply, oxygen supply to the eye, and the eye tries to create new blood vessels to try and keep itself alive, so to speak. And so those small little new blood vessels, they're the ones that cause havoc. They can bleed and they can cause blindness. They can result in what we call secondary glaucoma in the form of neovascular glaucoma. Sure. And patients who've had trauma to their eyes, if you've had an injury, a slight bump to the eye. You may have been playing sport at some point and you had a ball hit your eye and nothing was wrong at that stage and your vision's been okay. It might be worthwhile to just keep visiting your ophthalmologist to exclude things such as glaucoma. But the common things really, I mean, we are looking at genetics. We are looking at, if I diagnose a patient with glaucoma, the next thing that I need them to know is, do you have siblings? They need to have their eyes checked because we know that there is a huge genetic component to it.
Right. So for me, the funny is I wear glasses, I'm over 40 and I'm adopted. So I've got no family history to draw on. So I might be giving you a call, Doc. We look at South Africa and South African context. Firstly, let's chat about the testing, and then how is it? Are there options to make this available on a broader level, such as going to a corporate, people bringing their staff to a facility for testing, going to schools, going to universities? What are the tests that are available, or the testing facilities and processes?
One of the reasons I thoroughly enjoy and love being an ophthalmologist is the technology involved in the field. And it can be a good and a bad thing because we become so dependent on these technologies that are literally, now we've got AI, which is even worse because every single piece of technology has AI incorporated in it. But the test, what one can expect when they visit an ophthalmologist for examination for especially diseases such as glaucoma, is that you will go through a thorough sort of from the front of the eye right to the back of the eye examination. We obviously start with your visual acuity because we know glaucoma can affect your visual acuity. You might have 6/6 vision and still have significant advanced glaucoma. And that's one thing that a lot of patients do not understand is that, but I can see. I've seen a 30-year-old truck driver with tunnel vision. In other words, they have 6/6 vision, central vision, but they shouldn't be on the road because of the tunnel vision. They've lost almost 80 to 90% of their peripheral vision. And glaucoma is a type of disease that actually leaves your central vision right at the end of the disease spectrum. And so we, with all the technology we have, we try to pick up the subtle changes in the peripheral vision as well as the central vision using the technologies we have. So we have two very specific items of equipment that we use on a regular basis. And one is called a visual field, which looks then at the peripheral vision and if there is any fallout on your peripheral vision, as well as what we call an OCT. Now, an OCT is a fantastic machine that takes thousands of images in a split second and puts it all together. And we can see all the layers of the nerve of your eye within a few seconds.
Wow.
And we are able then to look at the structure of the nerve and see whether you're losing any nerve cells through looking at that scan. And we can also then look at the function of the nerve by the visual field test that we have. And the fantastic thing is there's quite a lot of these tests that are now home-based. We have, for instance, an eye care tonometer, which a patient can purchase and be able to check their pressure at home. They will obviously still need to be seen by an ophthalmologist to discuss the results. But now we also have visual field testing that one can do at home using a laptop or using a headset or using your iPad. And that the results of that visual field can then be transferred to your local ophthalmologist, who will then be able to say, hey, listen, I think we need to treat this and all we need to do something about the glaucoma. Now, having said that, we are nowhere near sort of remote testing. You still need to visit your local ophthalmologist to have extensive checkup. Right. So we do various other tests such as gonioscopy. We look at the angle structure of the eye. We look at tonometry, which is the pressure inside the eye, which is, as I've mentioned, the only modifiable risk factor in the management of glaucoma. And we also obviously look at, we can look at color vision as well. We can look at various other tests. But the two big ones that in terms of machinery, in terms of testing, is visual field and OCT. Those are, have become the baseline for glaucoma management, glaucoma screening, glaucoma treatment as well.
Right. When I went to visit Professor Super at Rao, he stuck my head into a giant bowl with little lights all over the place, and I had to press a button every time I saw that. So I figured I had a flashback to that machine.
Yeah.
So in terms of sort of testing your family, testing the your staff perhaps that want to work for you, is there a way, is there a facility that is mobile, or is it always you've got to come through and see your ophthalmologist?
Very good question. I think most of these, most of the equipment we use can be sort of placed in a mobile type unit. We tend to prefer to really not do that. It can cause the machines to die out a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
With all the potholes we have on the roads, it just takes one massive pothole, and that there goes your OCT, which costs $500,000 or close to R1 million for one piece of equipment. So we try not to sort of move them around too much. We mobile tests often have what we call autorefs. They look at your refractive errors, but tentatively you will probably have to go and visit an ophthalmologist in their rooms. Based on the reasons I've mentioned, or some of the reasons I've mentioned.
So we need to basically get in front of an ophthalmologist. And I suppose for an employer, it's so advisable to get your staff, maybe, if there's a questionnaire that could be put together in terms of looking at risk factors and then sending them off. Because what concerned me when we started talking was what you said, over 90 or 95% in Africa are unaware. So can we chat a little bit about that? What are the effects that we are seeing within Africa? But I do have a question from a listener. Can an ordinary optometrist see if there is any glaucoma symptoms, or do you have to see an ophthalmologist?
Yeah, so optometrists are scientists as well. They've gone through school, they've learned the anatomy, physiology, as well as the treatment in terms of refractive errors of the patient. They can make your contact lenses, glasses, and to some extent, they can sort of treat things such as dry eye disease, which is quite a common ailment as well. But technically speaking, the optometrists, especially in the South African aspect, still need to refer you to an ophthalmologist for an extensive glaucoma evaluation. They can examine you. They can check the pressure inside the eye with some of the technology we have. Some of them go as far as taking pictures of the optic nerve, as well as when you get referred to an ophthalmologist, we often get pictures of the optic nerve as well as the baseline pressure that the optoms have done. But the bottom line there is, in the South African context, one still needs to get up to an ophthalmologist to have the glaucoma assessed as well as treated, and surgery if required. Right. Optoms cannot they can't prescribe at the moment. In terms of glaucoma medication, they can't do surgery, but they can assess and they can evaluate to see if you are a glaucoma suspect, and therefore refer you appropriately to an ophthalmologist.
my question then would be, so I think our sight, and just listening to you and what you've discussed, our sight is so important to us. And, you know, if you are born sighted, the loss of sight can be absolutely devastating. I know, sadly, of someone that this happened to, that took their own life because they couldn't deal with the consequences that they were living with losing their sight. How yeah. often, if you are clear, should you be visiting an ophthalmologist?
Very good question. I think, you know, the age cutoff of 40, a lot of things happen physiologically to your eyes at the age of 40.
And
you
your
reach
hair,
a
doc,
stage,
and your hair.
Or there is that. Yeah. And they're here. Unfortunately, I can't do much about the gray hair, but I can try and help with the vision.
Right.
When you reach 40, your eye muscles become weaker, and you reach, there is a condition called presbyopia, and that's when your eye muscles start to lose the ability to accommodate, and that's when your arm, so to speak, is not long enough for you to be able to read near objects anymore. So you need reading glasses. And I always refer to that as a natural form of the, you know, of creation, I suppose, telling you that, listen, you need to have your eyes checked, because you have, most patients don't know that they've reached the level of presbyopia, and they have this discomfort, especially when they have to do near work. Right. So when you reach 40, I would say have a baseline checkup of your eyes with an ophthalmologist. They will exclude conditions such as glaucoma, among other things, and they will then be able to tell you, depending on your medical background, depending on your the comorbidities that you may have, hypertension, diabetes, then they will let you know how often you need to see an ophthalmologist. If you are a glaucoma suspect, you might have to see an ophthalmologist maybe once or twice a year. If you are diagnosed with glaucoma, a little bit more frequently in the initial stages.
Okay. So, Doc, we have another question. What are the long-term prognosis of, I think it's uveitis, U-V-E-I-T-I-S, uveitis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am continually using Pred Forte when I'm getting a flare-up, which can last months. So I suppose the question, what's the long-term prognosis?
Look, it's very difficult to say what the prognosis is, but I'm glad they asked the question, because uveitis is one of the potential causes for glaucoma, in that because you are chronically on steroids, and sometimes systemic steroids, steroid use in any form, whether it's a cream, whether it's an inhaler, whether it's eye drops, they can lead to secondary glaucoma, especially if you have the genetic pool of being a steroid responder. So to the patient who sent, or the person who sent the question, it's a very good question. I can't really say much about prognosis, because there are various types of uveitis, and there are various causes for the uveitis. But the mere fact that you are already on steroids, I'm pretty sure the ophthalmologist who's treating them for the uveitis is constantly looking out for raised pressure in the eye, which can lead to secondary glaucoma.
All right, fantastic. Great answer, Doc. And I know we didn't give you a lot of information around that. We're going to go to some ad breaks. And when we come back, I've got a question for you about strength athletes.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you for being with us on this Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. And we're chatting with Dr. Philip Patuti, ophthalmologist, glaucoma specialist, and a whole bunch of other awesome stuff. So, Doc, before we went to the ad break, I wanted to ask a specific question. And I was at the South African Bench Press Championships this weekend, won gold, not going to, you know, just dropping that. But with strength athletes, and I've seen it so many times where, particularly with deadlifts, with big pulls, there's bleeding from the nose, there's some, even the ears, the eyes are popping blood vessels. How much of a risk are strength athletes at for glaucoma? Should they be paying special attention to that because of the pressures they're creating internally?
fantastic question. I must be honest, you know, with regards to strength athletes, you know, if you do have those risk factors, or some of the risk factors that we've identified, you know, I would recommend that you have at least a thorough eye check. Now, the advantage of strength athletes is that they are exactly that. They're athletes, which means that most often they are healthy. They, you know, their cardiovascular status is exceptionally well. It's in a good state. And we know that exercise actually does help with lowering of your intraocular pressure. So, but when it comes to a patient or somebody who has glaucoma and is a weightlifter, you know, that will definitely require a very close, you know, look with their ophthalmologist to see, is there any sort of progression faster than expected because of, you know, the weightlifting. And especially if you now go and do glaucoma surgery, where we do filtration procedures, you know, that might actually be a big no-no in terms of having to go ahead, you know, with that type of sport. You know, there were other studies that were done looking at people who play, you know, brass instruments, trumpets. You know, they have quite a lot. They have a lot of buildup in terms of pressure. And as I said, you know, I think for me, the big thing is the risk factors. If you do find yourself having one of those risk factors for having glaucoma, I would definitely have a closer look at the presence or absence of glaucoma, right, or any other eye-related issues. Yeah.
So just as you're taking your nutrition, your training, your recovery seriously, and you're going to your physio or your bio or your chiropractor, you need to go and see your ophthalmologist just to get that baseline and that peace of mind.
Fantastic. I always say, look, don't forget the eyes are part of the body. You know, as much as you go and look after your heart, your eyes are probably, we like to think that they're the most important organs. They literally are the difference between, you know, being part of the surroundings and in your world and not. You don't forget to look after your eyesight in your quest for health.
That your heart is your path to your stomach, you know, or well, your stomach's your path to your heart, but your eyes are the path to the soul. So, you know, that's so much more important. Yeah. I think we were going to chat sort of about the symptoms of glaucoma, but as you mentioned that already, if you're showing symptoms, it's possibly too late. And this is why testing is so essential. If we look at the treatment, what are the treatments that are available?
We've got various treatments available. And I must say, in the last couple of decades, glaucoma treatment modalities have really taken a very good trajectory, in the sense that we have a lot more options at the moment than we did a couple of decades ago. So we have eye drops that are known as anti-glaucoma medications. There are various you know, classes of eye drops that we can use. And they obviously, just like any medication, they obviously come with their own side effect profile. But we also have things such as laser therapies. There's one particular one which I like using a lot in my glaucoma patients, known as selective laser trabeculoplasty, or SLT laser. And in fact, in some sort of glaucoma guidelines around the world, they're using that now as first-line treatment. So if a patient is diagnosed with open-angle glaucoma, the first line can very well be either eye drops or go straight for SLT laser. And there are various other lasers, such as YAG laser, where we do peripheral iridotomies for another type of glaucoma known as closed angle glaucoma. There are diode lasers, which are for treatment modalities. Now, if eye drops as well as lasers do not really help us in terms of monitoring or managing the glaucoma, and we see that there's progression, there's obviously glaucoma surgery. Mm-hmm. And there is a myriad of options when it comes to glaucoma surgery. In fact, some of them known as the MIGS procedures, they are sort of now being brought in a little bit earlier in your mild to moderate type glaucomas, and not having to wait until the disease has advanced to only then operate.
So, Doc, what I'm hearing you say, and I've got the sense of this message throughout our conversation, just wanted to say this before we go to ads, that there is so much treatment available. There are so many options. You owe it to yourself to be tested, to, if you have glaucoma, discover it as soon as possible and preserve your eyesight as much as possible.
Exactly.
So I think as soon as we're back from the ads, I'd like to get your final thoughts as we wrap up. What information, what would you like to share with the listeners just before we wrap up the show after these ad breaks?
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday Show here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I've been chatting with the phenomenal doc, so I have to say that, Dr. Philip Fatudi, and he is an ophthalmologist and glaucoma specialist. We've been chatting all things glaucoma. Thank you for your questions. I just wanted to ask the doc for his final thoughts as we wrap up today's show.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity. We really appreciate it. I always say, you know, if one person's vision can be saved by listening from this radio station, this session, that'll be well worth it. It's one thing to be born blind, and another to go blind having known what clear vision looks like. And glaucoma, unfortunately, takes away the vision that you know very well how things could be had you checked your eyes a little bit earlier. So my message is really simple. Even in this day and age, with all the sort of social media, with all the advertisements and all the awareness that we do, we still see patients far too often who present for the first time with advanced glaucoma, and having to tell them that there's absolutely nothing we can do with what they've lost. And we tend to then try to preserve that which they've got left. And it's really not a pleasant thing to do as a physician, as an ophthalmologist. And my plea is that if you know that you haven't checked your eyes, you're above the age of 40, or there's family history, you're wearing glasses, you have diabetes, you have hypertension, go and have your eyes checked. And at least know that you either have or don't have ailments such as glaucoma or not before it's too late. It's really not necessary to go blind in this day and age with all that we have at our disposal.
Sure. Well, Doc, absolutely wonderful message. And I'm making a commitment. I'm coming to see you to get my eyes checked. And we'll report back on that and how it went. So looking forward to chatting to you in person as well, and hopefully good results.
I hope so too.
Absolutely, but you know, if it's preventable, prevent it. Don't wait until it's too late, because we can do about it. Then you have to carry that with you for the rest of your life, that you could have done something to preserve your eyesight. Thank you so much, Dr. Philip Fatudi. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your time. Ophthalmologist, glaucoma specialist, member of the South African Glaucoma Society and World Glaucoma Association Associate Advisory Board. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your questions. Please get hold of an ophthalmologist in your area, book an appointment, go and get your eyes checked. It's something just to give yourself that extra peace of mind and look after yourself. Thank you for joining us, and I will see you next week.